faith, but also to love God with our whole mind. Now that is the hardest command for loving God, by submitting our minds to what God became there to reveal. That He, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Son of the living God. Then the Talith. This pertains to the laws of eating, which the Jews, as we know, are very strictly bidden to eat certain kinds of food. What one food will no Jew eat? Kind of pork. And to this day, as I'm sure you have seen this, there are canned foods which have different kind of inscriptions or initials on them. Have you ever seen the inscription that something was prepared according to the Jewish norms of food? Who remembers what it is? Please? Okay. And what does it look like? What's the... Please?
A U?
A U inside of a circle. Okay. Approved by the rabbis, and for obvious business reasons, the Jews want to sell their canned food to Orthodox, pardon me, if anyone wants to sell canned food to us Jews, it's just good business to make sure that that canned food has been approved by the Union of Orthodox Rabbis. And this is where, where would I begin? This is where we Christians, we Catholics, what shall I say? What weak need Christians we can be, how concerned we are to make sure that we conform to the culture. Orthodox rabbis, they could not care less. They follow the prescriptions of the law as they understand it, and great sacrifice to themselves. Now the Sabbath, the word itself, as we know, means rest. And the observance of the Sabbath is one of the most important features of Judaism. In other words, they are told in the Talmud how many steps they can take, how much they can talk on the Sabbath, detailed in the extreme. And just to know that when Christ came into the world, remember, He chose to be where? To be, pause, where? On the first Holy Saturday, His body in the grave, His soul, as we believe, in the limbo of the fathers. Then Sunday became the holy day of Christianity. Now the synagogue, readings, prayers, chants, preaching, and rites, elaborate, detailed, again, mainly among the Orthodox, with greater or less measure among, well, the conservative, and least of all among the Reform. Now the dietary laws, called the Kashrut. Old Testament slaughter. How, and the very precise prescriptions, how an animal is to be killed. And no blood. What is forbidden? Maybe meat, but may not be meat, for example, from certain birds. And as we've said before, absolutely forbidden. A believing Jew would rather die than eat pork. Then, of course, fish. Not all fish. Maybe I won't go into detail. Then, regarding the laws of Israel, in other words, now the country of Israel, and how we should pray for the people of Israel, as I'm sure you know. Israel came into existence because the British government then took a certain amount of land from whom? From the Muslims. And there have been wars ever since. Here he has almost about 13 after 4. And we are having Mass at 5 o'clock, as usual, in the convent chapel. Suppose then I answer some of your questions. The other chart is for your reflections. So first from our last class. Where can a sex addict get Kathy help? What books can they read? It depends on the nature of the sex addiction. It can, of course, be homosexuality. It can be heterosexuality. And it can be, well, what we call ego eroticism, oneself. First of all, as some of you may know, I had a series of 12 conferences on chastity and Catholic morality. And I was as specific as I could be publicly speaking on the subject of chastity. They may help. I would say a person who has sex addiction, first find a good, but he better be a good, sound Catholic priest. And don't you dare believe that some people have a sexual orientation which means because of their orientation, they do not have voluntary control over their sex impulses. I'd rather die according to this building, have to say the next sentence. As you know, last fall. The bishops, thank God, not all of them, but a number of American bishops published a pastoral on homosexuality. All kinds of pious verbiage, but the bottom line is that homosexuality is an orientation. And the parents of homosexual children should love them and not, my God, not try to help them to overcome their, in this case, homosexual addiction. And I didn't expect this question. I just got a fax today from the Louisville, Kentucky paper. Pastoral outreach to homosexuals urged. Taking the moral high road in accepting personal responsibility and being open and responsive to Catholics who are homosexual was the focus of a recent workshop and retreat at the Catherine Spaulding Center in Nazareth, Kentucky, based on the teaching of those American bishops, which is the document, claiming, may God have mercy on them, claiming that homosexuality is a natural orientation of some people. And don't you dare interfere or try to, well, overcome that natural homosexual orientation. I could talk, of course, for hours on this subject. Find a priest who has a faith, the courage, and the wisdom to help. Are the thumb and forefinger of the priest still consecrated at ordination? If so, why don't priests bow their finger and thumb after consecration? Well, I guess that's what it means, right? Is that the idea? Well, it is not strictly required by liturgical law. But this one priest, to my last Mass, always quotes, bow, keep together these two fingers. Can you explain why one can kill someone to save a life, but one cannot lie to save a life? Isn't taking a life more serious harm? Well, we start a course now on the fifth commandment. You do not directly kill anyone. And consequently, behind the question, why one can kill someone to save a life? No, you don't kill someone to save a life. You will do everything you can to save that person's life which is being threatened. Your intention, let's be clear, your intention is not to kill anyone. Your intention is to save a human life. And you may use physical means to save a human life. And if trying to save a human life, someone dies in the process. Well, that's unfortunate. Am I clear? The purpose is not to kill, but to save a human life. And then, can I lie to save a life? And I think we talked about this. And this I can share with you. I'm sure we've talked about this in the New Catechism. There are two definitions of a lie. A lie is speech or writing contrary to the mind. But a lie is also defined as withholding the truth from someone who has a right to it. Are we clear? And consequently, withholding the truth from someone who does not have the right to it. Whatever you say, that person should know that he or she does not have the right to be told. Whatever you say, say it. This is the article from the Vatican newspaper on the Italian Jesuit Father Felix Capello. He taught at the Gregorian in Rome, died in 1962, when his body was exhumed in 96, found to be totally incorrupt. I wondered if you may have known him. Yes. He was one of my teachers in Rome. A great priest and a very close friend of the then Pope Pius XII, Father Capello. We knew each other well. Of course, we always talked in Italian while in Rome. I could speak more fluently than now. A great man. Praise God. One day he will be canonized. What do you think of prayers and masses for healing of the family tree? Well, see if I understand the question. Prayers and masses for the healing of the family tree. Healing, I presume, members of the family, whether physically or spiritually. What do I think of prayers and masses? The more masses, the more prayers, the better. Multiply. More prayers, more masses. How do the Chinese view the souls of their aborted babies? Well, as you know, China is under the control of a demonic Marxist government. And by law, only one child is allowed. Women, I'm told, are, when they are pregnant or when they have a child, then put into a truck and their children are aborted. So, now the Chinese, those of course who have been spared, but now how many? 1921, when Marxism penetrated China, which was now over 70 years. But believing Chinese do believe that when a person dies, the soul remains alive. Would you please comment a little bit on Masonry? To me, there is a connection between Masonry and Marxist philosophy. To me, simply saying they both are the same mafia. Well, you have a course. Three classes a week for whole semester on Masonry. In the Second Vatican Council, without going into details, I was told by Pope Paul VI to cooperate with the bishop in examining Freemasonry in depth. That meant corresponding with all the chief Freemasons throughout the world. I may have told you this, that we had a meeting in the Pittsburgh airport. the biggest Freemasons in the world, and the bishop, and this simple Jesuit. I can tell you this, Freemasonry is very anti-Catholic. It has deeply penetrated the United States, and has penetrated the Catholic Church. I could talk again, I repeat, for a whole semester. Please explain Marxism, especially the Marxist relationship to state and family. In accordance to Marxist philosophy, family must be removed on behalf of the state, which you've been told by Marxist mafia. Am I right? Yes. The strongest, most hostile book against the family ever written, in my judgment, was published by a companion of Karl Marx. 500 pages. The family came into existence with men, masculine and gender, forming the family in order to control women. That is why, as I'm sure you know, most of our laboring force in the United States now is what? Is women. So, the family is hostile to society. Women must be liberated from the enslavement as mothers and wives. Is it correct to say that Jesus is still suffering on earth in the Blessed Sacrament? Well, no, not put this way. Jesus, of course, has a true human body in the Blessed Sacrament, but his body now is a risen, glorified body. He cannot suffer in his own physical person. But does Jesus suffer in his church? Yes. And that is where our suffering comes in. That is why St. Paul made the strange statement, we are to make up what is wanting in the sufferings of Christ. What's he talking about? Christ did his part. He suffered. He died. But we must make up for. That doesn't mean that Christ's sufferings are lacking. But we have a free will. Will Christ's suffering and death on the cross will that automatically bring anyone to heaven? No. We've got to use our free will to cooperate with the will of God. And my dear friends, this is the deepest suffering we have to endure on earth. Doing what? Submitting our wills to the will of God. And of course, oh Lord, no. And he says, I'm sorry. Yes. God uses human beings. Am I safe in saying, do human beings sometimes contradict our wills? Do they? Has it been known? You wives, or pardon me, or your husbands? And God is behind every contradiction in our lives. We define pain as that which is contrary to the created will. So, no, Jesus in his physical person can no longer suffer. But Jesus, as the head of the mystical body, wants to suffer. I even dare say, needs to suffer in us. Without suffering, pardon me, without suffering, nobody gets to heaven. Ever hear that before? Many neighborhood families go to the local cafeteria Catholic church that is not very loyal to Rome. What would you suggest we say to our teens who say, do you think you are more Catholic than they are? We are parish members of Gatto. Many neighborhood families seldom attend Mass. Contracept and are much more permissive with their kids. Thanks for the question. I've said this more than once. Ordinary Catholics will not survive. Forget it. Only heroic Catholics will survive. And you, mothers and fathers with children, when they say you're teenagers, do you think you are more Catholic than they are? Well, just a minute. Whatever the child's name is, Jim or Mabel, there are certain things which a Catholic who is faithful to Jesus Christ does, and certain things that a faithful Catholic does not do. Only God judges the guilt, but we have to judge by external circumstances. And thus, Cafeteria Catholic Church is not very loyal to Rome. I know I'm being taped, but I have to say it. That's what happened in the 16th century. Acts of the 16th century, it took 83 years for the Catholic Church to disappear in six whole nations. 1517 to 1600. But in today's world, things are moving much faster. As a consequence, only those Catholics who survive as authentic Catholics are loyal to Christ's teaching as taught by his vicar on earth, and the others may still call themselves Catholic. I like it. Cafeteria Catholic, unquote, church. My friends, this is not wry humor. This is cold, cold reality. How well I know. How well I know. What responsibility do we have as Catholics to educate other, quote, Catholics about the sin of sterilization? I have many, quote, Catholic friends who are either getting vasectomies or plan on getting them, and they have no idea that it is wrong or sinful. What responsibility do we have as Catholics to tell other Catholics about, say, here, the sin of sterilization? Well, tell them it's sinful. No. You've got to be shrewd. You've got to be clever. If I can use a dictionary term, you've got to be Jesuitical. Every standard dictionary tonight defines Jesuitical as shrewd, cunning. So, you smile. But you tell the, well, your poorly educated Catholics, what's wrong? Why are the bishops reluctant to ordain more deacons? Why, there be any permanent deacons here in class? I try to watch my language. I think I told you that the United States has more permanent deacons than the whole rest of the Catholic Church put together. So, various reasons. First of all, there are some prominent deacons who are just good, solid, bona fide Catholics and deacons. But most of our deacons in the United States are married men. Over the years, I've got invitations to the ordination of prominent deacons. I always came, well, two pages. On the left side were the names of the wives. On this side, the names of the deacons. And the problem, as you can imagine, is that as you multiply the number of deacons, you're in competition with priests twice over. First of all, well, to replace, take over the work of priests. But secondly, and historically, this is one reason which I can prove, one reason behind the push, the pressure on having permanent deacons in the Catholic Church was to gradually remove celibacy as an obligation of priests. We've got married deacons. Why not married priests? Did Christ have a human and divine will? Or a human and divine nature? And what is the relationship between will and nature? Thanks for these questions. Only one problem. There's so much to say. Christ had, how many wills did Jesus have? How many natures did Jesus have? How many? How many did he have? How many natures did Jesus have?
Two.
Jesus had a divine nature and a human nature. And being divine with a divine nature, he must have a divine mind and a divine will. Being truly man, Jesus must have had and has a human mind and a human will. 1 + 1 is how much? 2. So, and what's the relation between will and nature? Well, nature is that which makes something what it is. Our human nature makes us human. That's our nature. Well then, our nature has 2 powers as human beings. Our souls have a mind with which we can think and a will with which we can desire, choose, and love. I was 5 days in New Jersey, in Newark, Sunday through Thursday of last week, teaching the Mother Teresa sisters, and I hammered this in, that God became man mainly to have a human nature with a human will. In other words, he became man with his human will. He chose to suffer. He chose to die. Now, who can repeat the 4 parts of sacrifice? Voluntary surrender of something precious to God. That first word is important. Voluntary. That's why God became man, to have a free will. So he could do what? He could choose to die. The relationship between will and nature. The will is the power we have in our nature with which we can first desire. Then we can choose it. Question. Can we not choose what we desire? Is that possible? Can we not choose what we desire? are there some things, at least on rare occasion, some things we desire which we don't choose? Should we choose everything we desire? Don't you dare. So God became man to have a human will with which he could first desire, then choose, and then keep on choosing. My favorite definition of love: sustained choice. And for married people, oh, they need to keep choosing. A message to bishops and litany on behalf of bishops, issued by the Human Life International. I strongly recommend this. How beautiful.
Does it help in primata? Or is it orthodox?
Well, no imprimatur. Please, has no imprimatur. However, knowing Father is Father Paul Marx. I can assure you, it is orthodox. But next time I'm in conversation with Father Paul Marx, I'll say, I was asked in class whether this had an imprimatur. I will tell him, Father, that's got one. Can you tell us about Senator McCarthy? The media seems to hate or paint him as a communist witch hunter. What should the Catholic know about him? What reliable books are out on him? Senator McCarthy, as you know, was an outspoken believing Catholic, whom the media hated because of his anti-communism. I will try to save this and find a book or two that is balanced on Senator McCarthy. Can you discuss with us about receiving communion in the hand? What is the Holy See's position on this subject? The Holy Father prefers, what a mild verb, prefers communion on the tongue. On the occasions when I've consecrated Mass with the Holy Father in St. Peter's, we were forbidden to give anybody communion on the tongue.
In the hand.
Oh, I mean, in the hand. Remember one woman. What country she was from? She put her hand out. Took about 30 seconds. I thought to myself, if this woman come in, if it kills me. Finally, she opened her mouth. She received communion. Communion in the hand, as you know, has been the occasion for a great deal of desecration of the Blessed Sacrament. Is Myers Montessori, or is it Maria, is it Montessori, an educator? Amazing instructions on Catholic principles. Some believe her to be a Marxist. Well, I could again talk for a couple of hours. I was then living in Washington at Georgetown University. And a teacher at a Montessori school in Chicago said she was uncomfortable with some of the things she was being told in her teaching. When I make some comments. So I made some comments. The result was that the chief Montessori educator came from Italy to Washington, D.C. and we spent several hours in conversation. It was taped. One thing that I learned from my dialogue with this leading Montessori educator, that according to at least this woman, the Montessori system does not encourage very young children being taught dogmas of the faith. They should first grow up intellectually before their minds are exposed to mysteries of the faith. Thanks for the question. This is a legitimate question. What does anyone in the world need to do to be saved? Oh, very simple. What do you do to be saved? Number one, know what God wants you to do. Semicolon. And then do it. Period. That's all. Sure, I've said this before. There are no problems in life. Zero. No problems. What are you talking about? I repeat, there are no problems in life. What we call problems are, first of all, things which God wants us to do. We don't know what He wants. So pray and ask Him for light. Lord, what do you want me to do? Find out what He wants. You still have a problem because being human, oh Lord, no, not this. Sorry, my dear. Yes, this. Then you pray again. Give me the strength to do it. This is my life. Only God knows how many words I've published. But in one declarative sentence, that's all there is. Know what God wants, semicolon, and then do it. That's it. If someone buys an audio cassette tape, is it permissible to make a copy of the tape and give it to someone else as long as one does not charge for it or make a profit from it? Yes. Somebody may quote me, but the question is it permissible? I would say yes. Over the years, how many people over the years have made copies of tapes by this sinner? So, that's my judgment. Is it permissible for lay Catholics to bless their family members with holy oil as a sacramental? Is it okay to bless any person with holy oil as a sacramental? Now, first of all, you can always bless yourself. And I would not recommend, for obvious reasons. Now, the holy oil is itself a sacramental. However, our faith tells us that when a priest blesses, and deacons too, within certain limits, whether they use oil or not, there's a sacramental in the blessing by a priest. Am I clear? And consequently, to bless, whether using oil or otherwise, now there's no difficulty in blessing people. We may do so, but I repeat, the risk is that by blessing people, the impression may be left, which is a mistaken impression, that anyone can bless anyone, because a priest has faculties to bless that no one else possesses. what are the benefits of wearing the balance catheter? Well, I'm sure you know. First of all, it strengthens our faith, especially in Our Lady as the Mother of God. And then, as you also know, the promise of final perseverance for those who wear the balance catheter. And by the way, and say the prayer every day. Do you know that?
No.
You don't just wear the scapular. You say the Hail Mary. Every day, every day. I mean, you do this from the age of 6. And the invocation is, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, pray for us. Is it 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Thank you. So, do we continue? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy
Mary, conceived without sin. Can I give you a blessing? May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit send upon all of you and your families, and remain with you forever. With all my heart, God bless you.